Lord, we humble ourselves.
Amen.
Lord, in your presence.
Amen.
Oh, you say you resist the proud.
Amen.
But you give grace to the humble.
Amen.
Lord, grant us the blessing of humility.
Amen.
Lord, that we may receive grace.
Amen.
Even more grace.
Amen.
Yes, we do consecrate this last semester.
Amen.
Or this last term of this training to you.
Amen.
Thank you for bearing us,
Amen.
And carrying us in the last 18 months.
Amen.
Lord, we just have the full faith,
Amen.
That you'll lead us to the end victoriously.
Amen.
Lord, we entrust every brother in this room to you,
Amen.
Old or young,
Amen.
Lord, experienced or unexperienced.
Amen.
Lord, we are just the same.
Amen.
We're all in deep need of you.
Amen.
Lord, we pray you will come and visit us again.
Amen.
Lord, even in these sessions today.
Amen.
Lord, in a personal way.
Amen.
Lord, in a deeper way.
Amen.
Lord, in a searching and exposing way.
Amen.
In an enlightening and supplying way.
Amen.
We need you, Lord.
Amen.
The churches need you, Lord.
Amen.
The eldership needs you, Lord.
Amen.
All the administration of the churches need you, Lord.
Amen.
Just come to you,
Amen.
Lord, empty,
Amen.
Oh, unloaded,
Amen.
Lord, with a seeking heart.
Amen.
Lord Jesus,
Amen.
Do come to us.
Amen.
Be with us.
Amen.
Say something intimate to us,
Amen.
Concerning your heart's desire.
Amen.
How we ought to behave ourselves in the church of the living God.
Amen.
And how we should care for your people.
Amen.
And how we should function together as a priesthood.
Amen.
Lord, do this for the sake of your move.
Amen.
Oh, even here in Northern California.
Amen.
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 Well, brothers, we have come to the what I call the last semester of this training. This is it, the last 6 months. I think those of us who were here during this last year and a half can testify to the Lord's grace. I surely can, above and beyond, really, what we have asked or thought. And we have nothing to boast. Indeed, we have nothing to boast but the Lord's mercy. So here we are in this last stage, and I was told that thankfully, the number of around 300, I heard, that has been around, you know, as far as at least the initial number of registration has not dropped. Maybe some saints have. For this or that reason, cannot continue. But there was apparently an influx of some replacement, some other brothers. So at the current time, I think our number is still 300 or so, which is a wonderful thing. This morning, I can see we are a little bit more, the room is a little bit more filled, and that is a wonderful thing. But I would like to just say, again, I take this opportunity because of the start of a new term, the last term, I'd like to impress you all again of the seriousness of this training. For those of you who are here for the first time, I strongly, if I could even make it mandatory, suggest that you would go and listen to. You can access the video or audio recordings of the first module, at least of the first three meetings, if not the first two modules. Although I don't have a vivid recollection of, you know, exactly all the things I said, but I do have the memory that I spoke some very, very serious words with regards to the heavy burden we have for this training, the purpose of this training, and how that at the end of the day, it is your attitude that will determine the benefit that you will garner from a training like this. It's all about attitude. I would tell you, I can say something here, and we have some meetings and the weekly pursuit, but in the end, it is your attitude that will determine. Just as in life, brothers, it's your attitude that will determine how you live, how you work, and how you do things. There's no difference with this training. In fact, my expectation is that having signed up to this training and this being a training on leadership or eldership, whether you become an elder or not is another matter, but because it is on this subject, it is by definition, an extremely, extremely serious matter. And therefore, your commitment to this for the Lord's sake, for the church's sake, you know, for your locality's sake, for the saints' sake, cannot be downplayed, cannot be made light of, cannot be compromised. I would even say if there's a time in your life that you're serious about something for the church, this is the time. This is the time. So I challenge you for an extra measure, not a common measure, but an extra measure of dedication and commitment, not to me, although I'm here carrying out something, but not to me, but to the Lord, to your master, and to the head of the body. And this is not about you. Forget about you. This is about God's need. This is about his church. This is about the Lord's people. And that's serious business. That's serious business. Whenever I consider the matter of serving the Lord, if I just come from my own angle, you know, I want to serve the Lord, I want to accomplish something for the Lord, that's good, but that would not rise, to the peak. But whenever I consider what I'm touching, what I'm handling, what I am, the responsibility that I'm bearing, then I am transported from just my piddly, selfish, sort of self-centric view of serving the Lord. This is not about me. This is about the Lord's church, the church that he's still building. Now, is there anything more serious than this on the earth today? Is there anything more serious than that in the universe today than the church that he's building? This is about his people. This is about his members. This is about his body. And you better be careful touching that. This is about his testimony. Anyone who would touch the ark with a natural hand will be smitten. And one person was smitten because he handled God's testimony in a wrong way. And so I hope that seriousness, that sense of utter seriousness, and needless to say, the sense of privilege and honor of having this responsibility to handle this great thing, this great responsibility, should humble us, should cause us to be extremely careful with the way we deport ourselves, with the way we handle things. I'm sorry to say today, many brothers, including many who have been leading brothers for years, I just don't observe that level of seriousness in them. Whether it is 20 saints or 200 saints, that's not the point. The point is, what are you touching? What are you doing? What are you learning to do here in this training? It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about his need. It is about his people's need. And I hope you all would have a new kind of consecration, to have a new kind of attitude when it comes to handling the church of God. Now, today we come to this next module, that's module 10, with the subject contacting people. Am I correct? And I told the brothers, if there's a heart of the eldership, we have arrived to that point. So this morning, these three messages are critical. And it will take you the rest of your life, your serving life, to really come into its reality, to master some of these, this service, to have the reality, to have the constitution, to care for this matter. What matter? That is the matter of our contact, or our interest in, our contact of, and our caring for, and our concern and caring for people. For people. I think last time or the time before I was here, before the summer training, I exhorted the brothers, the current elders, that you would take this next 6 months of the last 6 months of 2016 to do one thing, and that is to have a systematic plan of visiting every saint in your locality at least once. You would, as the Lord himself in John 13, gird yourself as a slave would, with humility, and go to the saints and wash their feet. Now, I am not here promoting physical feet washing. If the Lord leads you to do that, I'm not opposed to it. But you get my point. To go home by home, apartment by apartment, to wash their feet. Not caring who they are. Whether you know them, you don't know them, they're good brothers and sisters, they're bad brothers and sisters. You just go and wash their feet. That means you go with humility, not with any kind of positional sense, not with any kind of judgmental attitude. You have only one thing in your heart, and that is to minister some Christ to them by contacting them. You honor them by visiting them. Don't go with a message. Don't go to tell them that they're wrong in this or that. You just go and visit them and see how they're doing, how their children are doing. You go and listen to them to see what they have to say. So I propose that in the next 6 months you do that. I hope you have a plan. And if your place is small, You can visit them more than once in these 6 months. And don't expect any great miracle to happen out of that. That's not my point. You just go. You change yourself. That will be a clear message, even to all the saints, that these leading brothers, they're not just here giving announcements, starting and ending prophesying. Selling books. These brothers care for me. They care for me. So, to help you to do that, we have these three lessons, okay? So I hope that this morning, all these lessons and points, wonderful, wonderful points from our brother Lee, would be turned into action, will be implemented rather than enjoyed. Okay, so let's come to the first lesson, the elders' interest in others' spiritual welfare. These verses in John chapter 13, 17, I want us to read them. So please turn to John chapter 13, 34, and 35. Okay, let's read. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Don't forget, this matter of loving one another, the disciples, is the new commandment. The old commandment, love the Lord with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the Old Testament. I will tell you in the New Testament, the spirit of that old commandment on which all the prophets hang has not changed. It only intensified. And that became a new commandment. The new commandment that we're, as the Lord's disciples, has to keep is to love one another. As I have loved you, as God has loved us, each one of us, so we should love each other with that same love. And what is that love? That is a dying love. That is a sacrificial love. That is a laying down my life love. Love one another in this way. And it is by this love, this mutual love, that people will know that we are his disciples. Okay, chapter 17, and that would be verse 21, 23. That they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me, 23, I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them, even as you have loved me. So these two verses, you do have the word love there, but it is talking about the Father's love for the Son, and this love, the Son's love for all his brothers. But primarily, the burden in these two verses, indeed in this chapter, is on oneness. The oneness. So there you have in chapter 13, the matter of loving one another. And here in chapter 17, the matter of the oneness. So, Brother Lee, in this first part of this outline, use a term. It's called harmony in love. Harmony in love. Harmony, you can use the word oneness. Or one accord in love. Okay, so with that, let us come to the outline. Harmony in love is the characteristic of those who are built up by God. By the way, Romans 1 and 2 are from messages given by Brother Lee back in the late 50s in Taiwan. The rest of this chapter, as well as the next two lessons, are mainly drawn from Book 11 of the Elders Training Series given by Brother Lee in the early 90s or so. But I'm so glad that these two first Roman numerals are included, because there's something very, very particular in the utterance here. All right? Harmony and love is the characteristic, okay, of those who are built up by God. The point here is that we need to be built up. Personally. Here we're talking about personally. The emphasis here is not the corporate. But personally, each one of us, he was speaking to elders. He was speaking to leading brothers. You need to be built up by God. You need, to use the present term, you need to be a reconstituted person. You have to be one who have God's work in you. God has worked on you with some measure of success and result because of your cooperation with him. This is the meaning of being built up by God. There is a building up of the new creation part in you. Now, by definition, those who are built up by God means that they have a measure of their old creation demolished, broken down, torn down, in order for the new creation part to be constructed, to be built up by God. And what is the characteristic of this kind of people? Harmony in love. Very particular utterance. It does not talk about power. It does not talk about strength. It talks about love. It talks about harmony. Why? Because this is the hardest to achieve. This is the most difficult characteristic to possess in the church life. And it can only be brought about by those who have been built up by God. Young brothers and sisters who are now starting to participate in responsibility, brothers, I should say, you know what your need is? Your need is to be built up by God. A rebuilding, a reconstruction, a reconstitution of you in order that there would be harmony in love wherever you serve. And amongst those that you serve the church with. All right, let's go on. A, I want you to really, really pay attention to the words here, okay? Don't fly by these words, okay? When people touch people, that's all kinds of people. That includes unbelievers. That includes saints. When people touch harmony and love, they can sense that these people are followers of Christ. The characteristic of loving one another, that is the harmony in love, causes people not only to know that we are the Lord's followers, but also to believe that the Lord is the Christ. Here we are burdened for the gospel. We're burdened for people to believe in Christ. But they have to first see something amongst us. They have to be convinced and subdued by a certain condition among us. And that condition is our loving one another. May I say that today, in our church life, we're short of this. I think we can all admit to this. We have the highest truth. We have the best knowledge. And I say that positively, of course. But what about that condition of love in mutuality? Forget about the whole church. How about even among the brothers? Are you coming together in an elders meeting as what? Business associates? Business partners to get some church work done? Or is there a characteristic, visible characteristic? I would even use the word a kind of fragrance that emanates from that group of brothers where there is harmony in love. They love each other. They're not just there each knowing how to deal with one another because they've been here long enough not to step on each other's toes, not create a scene, a problem. We've all learned how to do that. Frankly, that is a little bit of politics. Or is there genuine love for the brothers, for each other? Even just among the small group, I tell you, the eldership is the miniature of the church. If the elders are like this, I tell you, the church is like that. The elders fight, the church fights. The elders are not one, the church cannot be one. If the elders don't love one another, no way that there would be this loving atmosphere in the church. And love builds up. Knowledge puffs up. Isn't that 1 Corinthians 8:1? I think so. The church is built up. A local church is built up in an atmosphere of harmony in love. There's no other way to build up a local church. If your church is cold, non-caring, where members are distanced, your church, there will be no building. There cannot be a genuine building. And of course, we're not here talking about some natural love. I presume you all understand that. We're talking about the same love with which the Lord loved us, you know, loving one another with that love. Check, brothers, in your heart. Just think about your co-serving one. Just think about them right now. How much do you love them? How much do you care for them? I'm not that concerned about the gospel increase. It takes work. It takes a lot of endeavor. No doubt, everything takes work. But what will people see when they come? What kind of atmosphere will they come into? Where is that love? Look at the world today. Am I right? What is it filled with? Hatred, cynicism. What about the church? What should the church display? The opposite. Am I right? But do people find that? Or forget about new ones. Do the saints find that? Or they're just coming because they couldn't go anywhere else because one city, one church. Is that the only thing that is holding us together in a locality? I really am asking this question. Or merely because here we get some supply that we don't get anywhere else? Or is there really a genuine atmosphere of loving one another? B, a believer who has not been built up by the Lord will not have genuine love toward people. I would not say this. I would say if you don't have love, you don't have love. You just go love. No. Brother Lee talked about a believer. If you have not been built up by the Lord, you will not have love for people. So our love or lack thereof is what? Is a giveaway of the lack of the genuine building up, the genuine addition of the divine element of God's nature. And talk about the divine nature, holiness, righteousness, love, and light. And in the end, actually, love trumps them all. In the sense that love is God. To be built up by the Lord, therefore, is to be constituted with love. With His love. There's not one who is really built up by the Lord, but they don't have heart and care for people. See, in the Gospel of John, love is an issue of a person's abiding in the Lord, fellowshipping with the Lord, and being one with those who belong to the Lord. I think Brother Lee's thinking from, you know, chapter 15, chapter 14, 15, 16, 17, talks about abiding, talk about being one with others, etc. And love is an issue of that. Love, this New Testament commandment can only be kept when we are abiding in the Lord, fellowshipping with the Lord, and then becoming one with the brothers, with those who belong to the Lord. And love is the issue of that. The love that Paul had came from his being built up in the Lord. This is Paul. If a co-worker, church, or saint was weak, Paul was also weak. If they were stumbled, he was sorrowful and indignant over the cause of their stumbling. He said, what? In 2 Corinthians 11, 28 and 29, apart from the things which have not been mentioned, there's this, the crowd of cares pressing upon me daily. The anxious concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak, and who is stumbled, and I myself do not burn. So, the things that happens to the churches, to the saints, Paul takes it subjectively and personally. He feels it. He felt it. It's not some objective work that he's doing. It's not some kind of just assignment he's trying to carry out in terms of the churches. They meant everything to him. He internalized the condition of the churches, the needs of the saints. He internalized them so that when they stumble, he burns. When they're weak, he became weak. When they have problems, he's full of anxiety. That is a person built up in the Lord. Brothers, I'm talking about something a little deeper this morning. You want to be a real, effective, and true elder? You have to have this. I want to really, really just change your concept of what is to be an elder. It's not about just doing things. It's about being spending and being spent on people, on the saints. If you don't do this, you are disqualified. I don't care what kind of tag, what kind of bars. I don't care how many years you have been, quote, quote, an elder, because you are not an elder. And it doesn't matter who appoints you. It's the reality that counts. Two, we need to learn to be concerned about others. Now we're being led into the burden. So learn to be concerned about others. It's about people, brothers. It's about people. Even now I'm asking, who are you concerned for right now? Who are you burning within for because they're not doing so well? Who are you weeping for? When is the last time you shared tears for a brother, for a sister? We need to be turned upside down and right side up. Eight, the Lord desires that we love one another even as he loves us. Easy to say. Who do you love, brothers? Who do you love? Give me a name. Give me some names. I love everyone. I love the saints. That's general. Oh, I pray for them all. Who did you pray for? Who are you praying? The Lord's love toward us is not based on emotion. That's not what we're talking about. He does not love us because we are worthy of his love, for sure. This is a very strange statement. He loves us because we need his love. And so, we should love others. You know what? You know what, brothers? Do you know the saints need our love? Do you know that? Do you know that? That they are now sitting there in their house. They have a need. And that need is your love. We need to love the brothers and sisters and care for them, but such a love should be based on their need, not our emotions. When they have a need, we have a need. Their need becomes our need. You say, some of us, well, who loves me? That's a question an elder should never ask. That's all I can say from my experience. An elder only knows how to pour out. You know, we have a famous hymn, 635, by Watchman Nee, on the grapevine. In one of the last verse, could someone... the last verse, and I would ask you all to go back and sing this long hymn of 16 long stanzas. Stanza 15. Not by gain our life is measured, but by what we've lost 'tis scored. 'Tis not how much wine is drunken, but how much has been outpoured. For the strength of love e'er standeth in the sacrifice we bear. He who has the greatest suffering ever has the most to share. Brothers, to be an elder is to be one who just pours out with no expectation of return. If there would be any expectation, we only expect something from the Lord Himself. We just love. We just go forth to love the saints, the brothers and sisters. That's why, if you're not built up by the Lord, you cannot love. That love will run out, or it's non-existent. That love is God Himself. God being built up in you as love. We should love the saints because they are our brothers and sisters, and because we have been dealt with by the Lord and have been built up by Him. To love people requires you to be dealt with. Have you been touched by the Lord? How selfish you are. How self-centric you are. How self-absorbed you are. If you have never been touched by that, you've never been dealt with by the Lord about that, you have no room, you have no capacity to love. Because all you care is you. When the brothers who administrate the church have been built up by the Lord, there's something in them that is concerned about others, loves others, and cares for them. It's spontaneous. Now, obviously, here, we're not talking about the kind of weird imbalance seeking of one's spiritual attainment or spirituality. We're not talking about that when we say building up. We're talking about something real and something for the body. See, one who has been built by the Lord must learn to be concerned about others. It all starts with concern, interest, a heart. Before you go out and visit and knock on the doors of the saints, you go and check your heart condition first a little bit. Are you going even because Minoru Chen tells us to go as an assignment? Or are you filled with concern, something that emanates from your own heart for your brothers and sisters? If there is the genuine love, the brothers will immediately check on the condition of a sick brother who is missing. We should learn to bear their burdens. Do we care when some saints fail to show up? Do we care when we hear from the grapevine something is, you know, bad has happened or affecting a certain one? Or do you just simply just shrug that off? Or give a perfunctory comment? Well, they'll be okay. The Lord takes care of them. I want to, in Northern California, rebuild the eldership into an eldership that visits people. Forget about everything else. In fact, if the grass is too tall and the paints are chipping, let it go. It won't collapse your meeting hall. But day after day, saints around us are collapsing. It's about people. There are those who are sick, some physically, others psychologically, and still others spiritually. Do we care? Well, that brother, he is always like this. He's reaping what he's sown. That kind of comments, that kind of thought. No wonder your church is cold. D, if an elder desires his administration of the church to bring in the building, he must learn to love and care for people. It's a learning. I surely have found that it is a learning. None of us, or very few of us, are born with this natural, concern for people. And even if we are, it needs to be, you know, go through the process of death and resurrection. So none of us are naturally this way. We need to learn. Learn means what? We need to be rebuilt in this one matter of loving and caring for people. One. Edification is for the benefit of an individual. Building up causes the saint to be built up together. God does not want to gain individual persons. He wants to gain a building. I think that's very clear. Our work must produce a corporate result in order for God's will to be carried out. That's the church. Two, a church in which the brothers care for one another has a future. How about underline that statement? Is there a future in your household, in your church? If the serving ones do not care for one another, we should not expect our work to result in the building. You know, we talk a lot about building. You know, my message, the tabernacle, the priesthood, it's all about building. the building of God. You know, we're very consumed with this vision. No doubt about this. Now, let's bring it down to the practical level in your local church. We want the result of a built-up local church. But what it's saying here is practically, starting with the serving ones, if they don't even care for each other, don't expect our work will result in building. Because it won't. It may result in some better structure. Could be a better organization, but not building. Love builds up. What builds? Love builds. Okay, let's go on. I have limited time. The elders need to have a proper interest in people, a proper concern in other spiritual welfare. Their people's welfare should consume us, should occupy us. How is this brother doing? How is that sister? How is that couple doing? This is where they were. Are they doing better now? How are they going on? That kind of thing should be consuming us on a daily basis. The elders should be concerned for people rather than for business affairs. I have been speaking about this all along. The first responsibility of the elders is to always have an interest and concern for other spiritual welfare. The elders should pick up the habit to care for people and seek the help of others for the business affairs. Let some others do the business affairs. You pick up the habit to care for people. It is better that the elders spend most of their time to contact people. Most of their time. The elders should be concerned for people, have an interest in people, and fully occupied with people. And elders must budget his time to contact at least 2 people a day, by phone, by text, by email, by physical appointment. The elder should contact all kinds of people, including unbelievers, new believers, and weak believers. If the elders would do that in a locality, I will tell you, I have no worries about that locality, really. Even if these elders are a little bit short in truth, they're a little bit short in this or that, they can't make that up. But if they don't have the basic quality or habit to truly be concerned for people, then no matter what you do, I'm worried. I don't have the assurance that this church will flourish, this church will thrive. B, let's come to B. The elder should labor in the word and learn in order to be good ministers of Jesus Christ. I'll just read through this one. Laboring in the word does not merely mean to speak the word to others. It also means that elders have to learn the word. Before ministering the word, we have to know the word. 2, we must bear the burden to take care of people in spiritual matters. However, if we do not learn the spiritual things, we will not know how to care for them. Brothers, we need to know the Bible, to know the word, to know the truth. For what though? So that you can give a message? So you can be the top speaker in your locality? Or so that you have something with which to minister Christ to people with? That should be the goal of equipping yourself with the truth. When you're empty, when you don't know the word, when you don't have, you know, a measure of knowledge in spiritual things, you don't have that much. your toolbox is pretty, you know, scanty, right? But the purpose is not just so that I have a big toolbox to show off. The whole point is I would have more to minister Christ with. I would be more all around. I would be able to serve the saints better. See, the elder should not have an interest in knowing others' affairs, which spreads death in the church life. To know others' affairs is a temptation. It is better to be a dove among the saints without any intention of seeing or hearing of others' affairs. These three messages are going to be full of points, after point, after point. I will tell you, I love these points. I internalize these points. I study these points. I do my best to remember and practice these points in my service. Very, very helpful. These are not doctrines. These are practical guides. Okay. So don't go around to snoop, to eavesdrop. You know, some elders want to do that because knowledge is power. The more you know about everybody's business, the more you control them. That's the wrong way. We don't care really to know about the saints' business. Actually, the less, the better. You're in a position to know because the saints trust you. The saints confide in you. And don't you feed that lust of yours to know people's business. We need to know in order to serve. But don't go around and use your position inadvertently to find out about others' affairs. If we know something, turn it to prayer. You know, I'm lately reviving some practice I try to have. That is, whenever I hear something, you know, the first thing is you make judgment. The first thing is you make assessment. The mind just get into gear. I force myself, once I hear something from this direction, that direction, the first thing, I pray. With that, the first processing of that information is prayer. Not analyzing, not assessing, not evaluating, but praying. It's hard. It's hard because that is not the natural tendency. We may need to know certain things for the purpose of interceding for others, but we must try to do our best to know the matters accurately. That's another problem. We believe the first thing we hear. Usually what you hear is wrong. At best, inaccurate. By going to that person and listening to them directly, don't trust what you hear. Even if it comes from your wife, don't trust it. I don't mean you're skeptical. But experience tells us that is unwise. Just like don't say something quickly. You know, the Chinese three monkeys, see no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil. Not bad. Not bad to be a monkey like that. See, you know, don't go and see. Don't go and hear, because the next thing you'll be talking about it. If you know something, you know it accurately. You find to verify what is spoken before you believe in it and act upon it. Worse. The best thing is not try to know. When it comes to you, it comes to you. But it still has to be filtered by the cross and by prayer. D, we should have an interest concerning people's condition with the Lord, which ministers life in the organic building up of the body of Christ. When we say interest in people, what do we mean? We are saying we're interested in people's condition with the Lord, not just their affairs. We cannot know people's condition with the Lord except by direct contact with them. That's why visitation. You don't know the saints without personal contact. No one can know someone's real condition unless he contacts him a number of times. Repeated contact. Even one contact, you don't see the real need or condition. We must contact someone again and again until he has a trust in us and will open up the things on his heart. This is about shepherding. You have to gain that person's trust, not by politics, not by human maneuvering, of course, but by genuineness in the Lord, by purity of contact. They will open something up, and with that, you minister and you shepherd. E, the elders must be burdened with the contacting of people for the Lord's kingdom. We must pick up the burden to contact people in a particular way that concerns their spiritual life. We are not here to get involved with marriages, to wedge in and insert ourselves into people's lives. No, don't do that. Our concern is their spiritual well-being, their condition with the Lord. And of course, this will touch their marriage, this will touch many things. But this is our aim, our burden. We must first learn to open up ourselves with wisdom. Much wisdom is needed to the ones whom we contact. This opening will cause them to open up to us. The best way to invite people to be open up to us is we open up to them. In genuineness. Not in that natural, ugly, unprofitable way. Let your hair down. Don't do that. That requires wisdom. It requires certain tact, if you will. Propriety. With different age, different persons, you would do this differently. In the end, to serve them, to minister. Okay, F, the elders must learn to pray with a particular burden for the relationship with the Lord of those for whom they are concerned. You know, prior to visiting, you pray. Post-visitation, prayer. More prayer. Just fill your time with contacting the saints and contacting the Lord on their behalf. And that is true intercession. This praying should be in the way of proper schedule. This schedule should be include a time to pray for the ones we contact. You know, elders actually should have a list of the saints they pray regularly for. You don't need to pray for the meeting hall. The meeting hall will be quite fine. All right? You need to pray for people. They need your prayer. Young brothers and sisters, brothers, I tell you, many of you don't know how to pray this way. You know how to pray for yourself. You may be just by habit, you just, oh, we pray for John, we pray for whoever. But I'm talking about this kind of particular ministry of prayer, of intercession, to be more specific, for some particular persons you don't know and don't think you know. You better learn. You better learn. Just by even praying for one is a good place to start. If the elders take the way fellowshipped here, they would be very approachable to others. It will be easy for people to contact them. You know, when you visit the saints, when you look them up, I tell you, they will know you're approachable. You care. Everyone responds to care and love. The condition of the church depends on the eldership in that church. The proper eldership is one in which all the elders contact people daily, weekly, regularly, and consistently. That's our job. Four, the number of people the elders contact is the deciding factor. Please underline that. The deciding factor of the condition of the church in their locality. Right there. This is indisputable. This will not change, this principle. The number of people that we contact is the deciding factor of our church's condition. And this is not just in the meetings, although we need to use the meetings, before and after especially, but during the week, in ordinary times. We need to build up a habit of contacting people. We must first pick up concern for people and go to contact them. Then we will learn their condition. It is very convenient, profitable, and necessary for the elders to contact people, especially the new ones, before and after the meeting. Brother Lee charges to do that. The first thing, Brother Lee, when I first come to serve under him, this is what he spoke to us all the time. Talk to people before the meeting and after the meeting. And I put that into practice. Lord's Day, prayer time. After the meeting, you don't rush home. You hang around. And you contact some that you rarely see. The Sunday goers. I did that. It's in Anaheim. It was in Anaheim. A sizable church. There are these old men, old women. I hardly know them. Some of them are Chinese. I hardly know their accent. But I go to contact them. That should be habit. That's what we do. Some brothers, they give an announcement, they just go home. The first one out the door, they've done their announcement. What? And actually, before the meeting, actually, we should have coordination the day before. Use the time before the meeting to contact the saints. You don't need to come out at 9:58. You're there half an hour before. You know, the old vicar, you know, standing at the door. You know what I mean? When they go in, then go and preach the sermon and come back and not bad. You understand where I come from. You don't even know your parishioners. You don't even know your congregation. You just know you're giving your announcement and giving your prophecy. No, brothers. Your church has no future. Where am I? Number three, in a local church, the first thing that is needed for the elders to contact people, contacting people must be our priority. Underline that in the church life. First thing, priority. Four, if we have the practice and a strong habit of going out to contact unbelievers for the increase according to a schedule, others will know us to be those who are always busy gaining new ones. If we are such persons, others will be helped to go out with us to preach the gospel. This is the whole matter of the gospel preaching and contacting new ones, which the elders also have to take the lead in. We don't go around telling people to do what we don't do. We lead by pattern. When we care for people, you believe me, your church will be a people-caring church. In no time. They learn of you as the lead sheep. Let us have now some prayer with your neighbor there, and we can have a break.